Hey Gush, welcome to Yossi Prager and Akiva Prager. Welcome to the yeshiva. Great to have you with us. Let's talk a little bit about tefillah. This is really the last parsha. We're talking about tefillah, Vayetze, parshas, which are avos, hammered out the templates of tefillah. So Yaakov's tefillah is described with the word pegia, vayizkava makom vayalin sham. And I'll talk about why his tefillah is articulated as pegia, mitzvah Hashem, later this week. But what's fascinating is the term makom, vayifka b'makom. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu referred to as a double entendre? Vayifka b'makom, there's a place, vayifka b'makom, he encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's take a few steps back. Yaakov has no location. What I mean, he has no location in Parshas Vayetze, he has confused and blurred location. He's got obfuscated location. There's a veil. We don't really know where he is. Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Sheva. He starts in Be'er Sheva. Now he's in Haran, he's in Lebanon somewhere, Syria. And then all of a sudden, he's back in Beis Elokim, Shara Shamayim. These are words that refer clearly to Yushalayim, to Har Moriah. And then all of a sudden it becomes Beis El, which was Luz. And we know that Luz isn't near Yushalayim. So there are at least three coordinates for where Yaakov is. He's either in Haran, he's in Luz, / now to be called Beis El, or he's in Shara Shamayim in Beis Elokim, which is clearly Yerushalayim. So Rashi provides a solution, ladders, long ladders, stretching, Kvitzas HaDerech. Why is the Torah create? Obviously, we need Rashi to provide these coordinates to help us through, but why is the Torah suppressing location? Where is he? What's the big secret? why is the Torah so concerned? The answer is, of course, that Yaakov really doesn't have a location because he's been expelled from his parents' home. And he's on the run, and he doesn't belong anywhere. And this is a moment of emunah. This is a moment not just of emunah, but of loneliness. And we all know the end of Parshas Vayetze, because we've read it many times, but Yaakov hasn't read Parshas Vayetze yet. He doesn't know that he'll get married, has 11 children, return back to his parents' home. He has no makom. But he has a makom. And that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the irony of Vayetze. He doesn't have terra firma. There's no ground that is his. Literally, because he's been expelled from his parents' home. And even on the road, he doesn't even have a motel. We know where he's staying. We can't tag him. His GPS is down. GPS is going to a tizzy. Where is he? But he has makom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the makom. So if Gaba makom, the Torah strips him of any geography. He has no grounding, but he has HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makom shel olam, it's hard because we're so defined. Our rhythm, our life is so defined by time and space that it's hard to imagine. But imagine you're looking at Earth with Google Earth. See, zoom in, of course, only place you'd start, Gush Etzion. You see the Beis Medrash, you zoom out a little, and you see Yehudan Shomron, you zoom out even more, not filled, you zoom out even more, then you see Israel, you zoom out even more, and you see the Middle East, you zoom out some more, and you see the Earth, and you zoom out some more, let's say the Google Earth cameras were at the top of the universe. You'd keep zooming and zooming and zooming, and you'd see the solar system and the galaxy, and then you'd zoom to the top of the universe and you'd see the entire universe, which in theory is possible because the universe is finite. You'd see the entire universe. What would happen if you zoomed out a little more? So just like we live in space, right? We're living right now grounded in these coordinates. We live in space and time. The universe lives in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's space. Hashem is to the universe what space is to us. So just like we're framed by space, we're going to get it right soon, okay? Before Hanukkah, we'll get your camera. Just like we're living in space, space is living in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So wherever you are, you're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu space. Just like wherever you are, you're in a bit of the universe of space. Every part of the universe is the space of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is Mekomo Shel Olam. Now, that's very theoretical, but that means at an existential level, wherever you are, your space is irrelevant because when you interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through davening, you're in the ultimate space. You're encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the space of space. It's the area of space. And for thousands of years, that meant Jews who were scattered all across the globe still maintain that sense that we're in Israel. We're the cult. I know that I'm Daniel and I'm in Bavel. And Daniel's the first person to daven to Yushalayim, at least in Tanakh. And I know that I'm the Spanish Inquisition and it's really difficult. And I know that I'm in a pogrom. But I daven and I recreate space. Davening is about recreating space. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Avram and Parshas Lach Lecha Vayotzi Yasa Achutza and Rashi, Svaras HaKochavim, and how do you count the stars if he's standing outside? So Rashi says he drew him beyond the universe. it wasn't just that Hashem took him in a hydraulic lift and he lifted Avram up above the universe so he could look down upon the stars. It's that encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a panoramic sweep. He was looking at it through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lenses or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's position. And then it really didn't make a difference where he was. And he saw it large and he saw it whole and he saw history and he saw that even though he didn't have a child, he lived beyond time, lived beyond space. So tefillah, aside from everything that goes on verbally and what you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how you talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, it's an experience of lifting yourself beyond makom. And in many ways, this word makom contradicts the first word makom of tefillah. Which word, when did we see the word makom utilized for tefillah in the past? Ela makom sh'ama Hashem. Very good. And that's the exact opposite, because in Parshas Vayera, that's the same place he davened yesterday. So Avram has space. And Avram emphasizes the significance of makom kavur. The Gemara says in Brachos, if a person kolak kovea makom l'tfilaso, anyone finish the Gemara? Okay, Avram be'ezro, hey Anav, hey. So a person that has makom kavua is excelling in that encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu through human terms. This is my place, and I've told you before the importance of makom kavua. When I go to my place in the Beis Medrash, I try to find a Kodesh Baruch Hu for so many years in that location that I slip into it much more quickly and much more easily. But Yaakov doesn't have that space. Obviously, he has no space. But for him, a Kodesh Baruch Hu becomes his space, and no matter where you are, and sometimes you'll have your makom kavua, and you'll be able to slip into that encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's just so regular and so routine. And sometimes you'll be davening in strange places, in airports, in fields, not like Yitzchak's field, but maybe you'll be davening in the army. You'll be davening in locations that just are hard for you to imagine that they have sanctity, hard for you to imagine that they're as meaningful as being back in your... You'll be in a hospital. You'll be in visiting someone, not hopefully, but better than being ill. And you'll be in so many different places. And you'll want to be in other locations, and tefillah helps you bridge them a little bit for Yaakov. Yaakov says, I don't really have any space. I don't have a family. I don't know where I'm sleeping tonight. I don't even know where I am. It could be in Luz, it could be in Israel, it could be in Yerushalayim. But if you have a makom, you're encompassed by a Kodesh Baruch Hu space. You feel that that becomes your space. It becomes the foundation. Remember, space is foundational. It frames who we are. If you live in 0 degree gravity, you'd be discombobulated because you wouldn't have location, you wouldn't have grounding. Gravity grounds us, it creates equilibrium, it creates sanity. You're just twirling and swirling in zero gravity. So sometimes existentially you feel yourself, where am I? Where do I belong? I'm frustrated in life. Remember, we once asked Rav Lichtenstein to define emunah for us. So Avraham gave a very interesting metaphor. He said, imagine you're falling down this black, dark, bottomless pit to the core of the earth. And it's dark, and you can feel the fire, and you're just falling endlessly and helplessly, and you're thrashing and moving your arms. It's like the movies where your legs are moving, and your arms are moving, you're trying to grab onto some ledge. All of a sudden, this hand comes down and clasps you, and that's the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's your only hope. That's your only stabilizer. That's your only anchor is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's how deep emunah should be. And tefillah, through makom, creates that. Sometimes you're in very... There are different types of tefillah in your life. Sometimes everything is calm and everything is tranquil and things are working in your life and you've got metaphoric ground. You come to your seat in Minat and you start davening at 8 o'clock and you put your talis on and Dunkin' Donuts is waiting and the day's waiting for you. And sometimes you're in Yaakov's space. You're in the beginning of Vayetze and your world is very chaotic and you're frustrated. You know where you're coming or going, and that's the beauty of tefillah. A separate type of a tefillah. It's really the contrast between Avram's makom and Yaakov's makom. It's a very different type of a makom. So the thing about, remember, the beauty of tefillah is it's really a journey through so many aspects of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It isn't just asking Hashem for help or praising Hashem. It's such a deep, deep journey into aspects of history and community and relationship to Hashem and self-understanding and self-meditation. So just, I'm hoping that over this month, these are opportunities we're thinking about. And Baruch Hashem, I really want to say, I've seen in many of you significant improvements. Like, I'm not looking at how you daven. I'm not metering how you daven, but just presence and working hard to get the davening and making sure that davening is something that you invest in. You have to invest in it. It takes a life cost to invest in it. Okay. Let's start Bava Basra. Let's start towing. Bechose Vitoin. Three interesting phenomena on this.